You're listening to World Watch Weekly by Open Doors Canada with co-hosts Jared Vandermeulen and Andrew Croft. On today's episode, we'll do our first ever question and answer podcast, and we have a special guest, the Executive Director of Open Doors Canada, Gary Stagg. For more information about Open Doors Canada or about the World Watch List, please visit our website at www.opendoorsca.org. Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back to another edition of the World Watch Weekly podcast from Open Doors Canada. I'm Jared Vandermeulen. On this episode, we will be answering questions that you've submitted on everything from our own involvement with Open Doors to how Open Doors operates in hostile countries around the world. If you want to submit questions for a future episode of the podcast, you can email us. If you want to submit questions for a future episode of the podcast, you can email us at podcast@odcan.org. Now, to answer your questions, I'm joined, as always, by Andrew. How are you doing today, Andrew?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jared?
I am as good as can be at this time. Andrew, we're pleased to be joined today by a special guest, the Executive Director of Open Doors Canada, Gary Stagg. Gary, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys doing?
Great. It is a great day to do a podcast. We're so excited for this episode because we've got a number of questions from our listeners and supporters. And we'll jump right into it. The first one I have here is probably just appropriate by way of introduction. Andrew and Gary, could you tell us a little bit about yourselves, your own role with Open Doors, how long you've been with the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started with Open Doors just over 2 years ago. My passion for the persecuted church began actually when I was a middle schooler. I read God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew, and it really challenged me in my faith, and it challenged me in what it means to follow Jesus. And so I've kind of tracked with the persecuted church since then. And I'm an ordained minister, and was youth pastoring, was doing stuff with the persecuted church. And I contacted Open Doors Canada about some of those events that I was trying to run. And through there, it all kind of worked out. And now I am working for Open Doors Canada as the Partnership Engagement Director, which means I talk with churches, I speak at churches, I help our partners to know what is happening with persecuted church around the world.
For me, I have a similar story, I guess, but it goes back a lot further, more than 20 years ago, when I first came across information from Open Doors and started using their prayer calendar to pray every day for the persecuted church. I too was a pastor, and so always felt that it was very important to keep this cause before my people, and always made sure that we provided the prayer calendars from Open Doors for the people in the church. And our people were very faithful to pray every day for the persecuted church. And also we participated in IDOP. And early in that process, I also traveled to a restricted country with Open Doors and saw firsthand what was happening to our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church. And from there, the burden grew. And then when the position became available for executive director almost 4 years ago, I was contacted and felt that God was calling me to do this. And so here I am.
Yeah, and it all started with a prayer calendar, which Open Doors still produces to this day. And so, and we love getting prayer resources into the hands of Canadians so that they can pray for the persecuted church. And so you can always find out how to do that in the description of our podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. Gary, just on that note, another question that actually goes along with that. What is it like to visit a persecuted church? What's it like to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in restricted areas?
Actually, it's quite a humbling experience when you go to visit people in the persecuted church. It's humbling in the sense that when you go, one of the things that they want you to do for them is to pray for them. They look at us coming from the West, and I think that they see us as some giants of the faith or something like that, that we, you know, we're probably very mature and spiritually and all of that stuff, and hopefully we are. But to be honest, when I'm in their presence, I see a depth of faith that is very unusual. And that's what's humbling, is them asking me to pray for them when I'm inside saying, actually, could you pray for me? Because I need more of what you have. Because you see that amazing, pure faith coming through.
Yeah, it's really true. I remember my first trip to visit the persecuted church and sitting in a pastor's home and just hearing him talk about attempts on his life. And I'm thinking, you want me to pray for you? Like, you're the one who has literally done what Jesus said when, you know, take up your cross daily. Like, he's put his life on the line for the sake of Jesus Christ. And it really is a humbling experience. I agree, Gary.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for sharing that. Andrew, on the Somalia episode of the podcast a couple weeks ago, we mentioned that Somalia was one of only a few countries to be number one on the World Watch list. Could you tell us what other countries have been number one historically for persecution in the world?
Yeah, so there's only been three countries that have ever been number one on the World Watch list: Somalia, Saudi Arabia, and the current number one country on the World Watch list, which is North Korea. Now, North Korea has been number one since 2002. It's a brutal country in which to follow Jesus Christ, and yet a country where God is moving and people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, we did an episode on that just a little bit before the Somalia one, and so I would encourage people who haven't checked that one out to listen to that and find out what's happening to our brothers and sisters in North Korea.
And as a follow-up to that, has there ever been any instances, or at least in the last number of years, of a country's restrictions on Christianity being lifted? In other words, an example of a country going from actively persecuting Christians to allowing them to freely practice their faith?
I would say that yes. Like, well, from a political standpoint, there have been movements that way, but they are generally very much political statements. When it gets down to the grassroots and you actually are with the people, the persecution is actually imposed on a very fundamental level. And so governments can make decisions and say that things have been lifted and we're allowing more freedom of religion and so on. But when it gets right down to it, it doesn't change in the attitudes of the everyday person that our brothers and sisters are coming in contact with. And so from family members, from communities, especially in rural areas and so on, we see very little difference.
Yeah, the number one persecutor of a convert to Christianity is generally their family. And so even if the government changes the rules, and that has happened, you know, I mean, the most obvious answer to that would be with the fall of the Berlin Wall and so many countries that were communist have now moved out of that. And that was where Open Doors started, serving the persecuted church behind the Iron Curtain.
You know, we saw the fall of the Berlin Wall, and of course an indication that things are going to get much better there, and certainly they have in that part of the world. In fact, some people don't know this, but at the time when the Berlin Wall came down and destroyed the Iron Curtain, Open Doors went through a bit of an identity crisis, because that's where we primarily worked. And so once that happened, Brother Andrew and other people were thinking, well, you know, our work is done now. God has had us here for a season. Our work is done. The wall has come down. The Iron Curtain is gone. People have that freedom to express themselves religiously. But of course, they discovered that there was a lot of persecution all over the world. And that was only one aspect of it.
Absolutely. Brother Andrew had already moved on himself a bit from communist countries, because he was no longer allowed access after writing God Smuggler. And so he had begun to kind of turn his attention to the Muslim world and see that that was an issue. And it was a matter of, is our organization going to move into helping Christians in those areas? And ultimately, that's what we've done.
Yeah. And so now we work in more than 60 countries around the world, which is phenomenal when you think about it, the growth of Open Doors and the way they have moved to every corner of the globe. Wherever there is Christian persecution, you will find Open Doors people.
Right. And the sad reality is that Christians are being persecuted more now than ever. It's not that there hasn't been improvement in some countries. We do see countries that go down on the World Watch list, and sometimes that's just because other countries have passed them because they're getting worse. But sometimes there is some improvement in countries as well.
And that actually leads into our next question. I've actually got two questions here that fit together. So today in 2020, can you explain how Open Doors operates in countries that are closed to Christianity? How does the organization manage to work in these countries? And as a follow-up, has Open Doors ever been kicked out of working in a country with persecuted believers?
Well, I mean, I'll start, Gary. I would say that the first answer to that is that Open Doors doesn't exist in the countries that we work.
Open Doors is blacklisted in most of these countries. And most of these governments understand, they know the statistics, they know the research of the World Watch List. And in fact, when people have been discovered to work for Open Doors, or if they have an inkling that somebody is working for Open Doors, they will mention the World Watch List to them. And as a complaint that you have us on your list. And so they know the kind of research that is taking place, and they know Open Doors' involvement because they know that we got to get that information. We're getting that information from somewhere. But the reality is that the organization Open Doors is blacklisted in most of these countries. And that's why we can't work in these countries under that name.
So the last question that we have for this Q&A podcast is a more timely one for today. How has the COVID-19 crisis affected persecuted Christians specifically?
Yeah, well, COVID-19 is affecting all of us. You know, restrictions are changing the way we do things, and that effect here for us as individuals, you know, it causes difficulties in our life. But if you imagine a Christian who's already persecuted for their faith, chances are they are lower on the poverty scale. They have restricted access to resources already. And now there's all of these restrictions put in place, and they're being skipped over by those giving emergency aid. They don't have the family structure, because their families have kicked them out for becoming Christians. They don't have the family structure in which they can fall back on, or that community structure, because they've been outed as a Christian. And so COVID-19 is just compounding their persecution to make it even worse.
Consider how bad it is for us, and then you just multiply that however many times to get what it's like for a Christian in a developing nation. A simple thing like social distancing, for instance, it's very easy for us to do it. Well, maybe not that easy, but at least we're able to do it. But some of these people live in very close quarters. You could have 30 people living in one household. And so that makes it very difficult, and it causes a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety on everyone, because nobody knows if they're safe. There's not the testing available for them. And so it makes it very, very difficult.
Now, if you want to find out more about how COVID-19 is affecting the persecuted church, we have an upcoming event called Night with the Persecuted Church on June 4th. And you can find out more about that at www.persecutedchurch.ca. We'll add that link into the description. But I would encourage you to come and find out how the persecuted church is being affected by COVID-19 and how you can be praying for them.
As we close off this edition of the podcast, Gary, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I wonder if you would be willing to close us in prayer this week.
Sure. Thank you guys for the great work that you're doing. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you today in the precious name of Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, today for the faith of our brothers and sisters around the world who have to put up with so much persecution just for calling upon you as Lord and Savior. But Lord, we're so thankful for their faith and for the way that they teach us what it really means to live our lives every day, taking up our cross, laying down our lives. We thank you for them today, Lord, and we pray that even in the midst of these uncertain times that we're all living in, that you would be their strength, that you would sustain them, that they would sense your peace in a real way today, and that they would know your presence, O God. We just lift them before you today, and we thank you for them. They are our family members. They belong to us. We're one with them. And so, Father, today we pray that you would just continue to pour your strength into their lives and continue to use them the way that you're using them to bring so many people to you. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this edition of the World Watch Weekly Podcast. Wherever you're listening to this, please remember to leave us a rating and a review and subscribe and share the podcast. It really does help us. Looking forward to the next edition, and we'll see you then. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Open Doors Canada's World Watch Weekly Podcast. The goal of this podcast is to encourage Canadians to pray for our persecuted family. To find out more, please visit our website at www.opendoorsca.org and click on Get Involved and Prayer.